Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and guests that don't turn up, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're supposed to have Alex Ansari on today, but of course, Ansari is not answering because his computer blew up. He sent me a Facebook message, which means also for those of you who enjoy Outside the Box with Alex Ansari, I'm sorry, he will not be able to do his broadcast unless he has access to a phone of some kind. And I don't know whether or not we'll be able to get that sorted for you. So apologies to the Outside the Box listeners as well, if any of them ever listen to this show. Now, our replacement guest, who's, you know what? She's actually really quite so fabulous, and she always comes on at the last minute whenever I'm like in deep shtuck, and she's just so fabulous and has amazing research articles, happens to be one of the most credible people, as well as being the most incredible person. It's Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Welcome to the program.
Wow, thank you. Yes, I'm always around, whether you want me to be or not.
Yeah. I'm like those certain people who are telling you lies, whether you like it or not. And it's kind of like the US government, isn't it? So what's on the board, Miss Ford? What are the articles coming out of Occupy Corporatism today?
Oh, gee, where should I start? Well, teachers are going to be armed for class this September in Arkansas. In Clarksville High School in Arkansas, it will be the first high school that utilizes state laws to allow teachers to become security guards, and they are in training, 53 hours of training, which is 5 times the normal amount that a security guard has to go through, which is actually kind of scary when you think about that. They will be equipped with 9mm guns, and the best part about it is nobody's going to know which teacher is armed and which one isn't.
You know, I hate to be the bearer of contrary news, but this actually sounds like a good idea to me. You know, all those mass shootings and things like that where here's the thing. What would you rather do in a mass shooting? Do what they currently do, which is cluster all the children together in small groups so that they can be more easily shot, or B, have armed teachers who can take out any alleged gunman?
If a gunman busts into a room full of children and throws up a handgun, I would like the teacher to come up behind him and put her gun in the back of his head and say, try it. Absolutely.
But something tells me that's not what this is for. I think this is probably for just to intimidate the kids and keep them to following really stupid school rules. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong. Is there more information on this?
There are teachers that shouldn't be there, and because of tenure and because of Common Core and all the good stuff, they get to stay there. And like in, I think it's New York, they get sent to like time out for teachers for 3 years on pay. You know, the taxpayers still pay their salary, and they get to sit in a room for 8 hours up until, you know, for 3 years total, serving, I guess, time out for teachers because they were bad, because they were sexually active with their students, or they were abusive or emotionally or physically abusive. When I was in school, nobody actually got hurt by a teacher, but apparently this is like commonplace now that teachers will just like grab you out of your seat and throw you out a window or worse.
Well, that's nice, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I just hate school in general, and forced public education, I think, is one of the main reasons why there's such a high military quota for recruitment, and also why the population has been so dumbed down. I mean, I think public schooling should, you know, just very gradually be abolished.
I agree. That's why when I saw the curriculum that my son would be learning, I decided to just homeschool him. He learns more now than he would even in high school. He knows more than sixth and seventh grade students do. So there you go. Just, you know. But you know, so teachers are going to be armed. I think it's a great idea. I've gotten some mixed reviews. I posted on Facebook this morning. Some people are like, that's great. Some people are like, that's scary. Teachers should be teaching instead of, you know, shooting at people. But again, if you have a person who is capable and can effectively protect your children from a false flag operation that's going to come down on them, then I want that teacher armed.
Well, yeah, I mean, otherwise the children are completely left defenseless. And I mean, this is actually an ironic move. And I wouldn't have expected to see this in a state like Arkansas, home to Bill Clinton, I think is the alien pronunciation of his name. And how can this happen? You know, we've got school shootings all over the place. And how long has it taken? How long has it been since Columbine? I'm just checking my watch here for some reason, the watch that I don't have because I've just got a wrist. And it's been a while.
It's close to 10 years, I think, somewhere in that range.
All right. Okay. So let me just dig this. Let me see if I can get the U.S. administration, or rather just only one state, to the back of my head. Okay. We have a school shooting. Reason why the school shooting allows to happen is because no teachers on that school are armed, and it's a gun ban zone. As always happens in gun ban zones, more murders, more gun violence, because the criminals know that nobody's got guns to defend themselves with. Okay, so, and then 10 years later, one state, is this just the one school, or is this the whole state schools?
About six other states are thinking about this, but Arkansas is the first to actually do it.
Okay, so in 10 years, after all this information has been plowed into anybody's reasonable consciousness, which I think in the United States would encompass, I don't know, a couple of hundred people, we've finally come up with a reasonable solution. However, I wonder, is there something bad that might come out of this? I mean, There was, in fact, reports of a school shooting that was thwarted because the principal had a gun and he took the guy out barely before he could even get inside the school at all. And in fact, this happens quite a lot around America, where you will have people who are crazed, probably suffering withdrawal symptoms from their medications or something of that nature. And this is invariably what happens, is you'll have large quantities of psychotropic drugs that are in all these people to help keep them sane and safe, where in actual fact it makes them insane and completely dangerous. They get all of their murderous crime sprees and everything like that thwarted, because there just happens to be somebody there, coincidentally, luckily, whatever word you want to use, who has a concealed carry permit and takes them out before they kill every freaking body. Now, the other thing is, I wonder how many of these teachers in this Arkansas school are on psychotropic medications who might accidentally be the school shooter in waiting. I hate these freaking kids! Boing! Boing! Boing!
Well, statistically speaking, one out of four Americans is on a psychotropic drug. That's a lot of people. Operating vehicles, heavy equipment, parenting, taking care of your sick elderly people that you love so much that you stick them in a home and forget about them. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives a whole new meaning to the term Club Psychotropicana.
Yes.
Okay.
But here's another one that's really good, and this has to do with parental rights.
Have rights all of a sudden?
No, they don't. You have no rights. You have no rights. They've been taken away a long time ago.
That's not true. You have three rights: put up, shut up, and pay up. Those are the only three rights that you're guaranteed under the Constitution.
That sucks. Well, they want to put this as an amendment to the Constitution. It's called the Parental Rights Amendment. Now, this has been around for a long time. It started in 2008, but it's come back up. And
yes, they're just waiting for the right crisis in order to get it introduced, right?
Absolutely, yes. Originating with Senator Jim DeMint and three other senators in 2008. And so when it originally came out, it only had three sections. They've since added some more. In the third section is the part that's pretty scary. because it basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, that you have the right to fundamentally educate your child and direct their upbringing unless interest that it be deemed otherwise. So you get to be a parent unless it serves governmental interest that you're not a parent, and then you don't get to be a parent. And that would be added. That would be the 28th Amendment to the Constitution if it were ratified. And this would also give federal courts jurisdiction over your children.
Have you noticed the interesting words they use? Like ratify, for example. That's what the Congress or the Senate do or whatever. You know why they ratify things? Because they're a bunch of rats.
Well, they come up, yes, there's all this legal jargon, and people who don't have a Black's Law Dictionary, I suggest you buy one or continuously look it up online so you know exactly what they mean when they say normal words that don't apply the same in a legal document as it does in everyday speech.
Yeah. Which, but I think this is just complete BS. I reckon they should do away with legalese and have this thing called frickin' English.
Well, which English? You know, Americans speak a bastardized version of the Queen's English, and that's supposed to be the actual. It's not schedule, it's schedule. It's not leisure, it's leisure.
Yeah, but they mean the same thing. I mean, tomato, tomato, who gives a frick? We both know what we're talking about.
Well, I think that's just, you know, indicative of how archaic Americans are, you know, that we don't even speak English correctly. And we don't, actually. If you go to a high school, some librarians, my mother works in a library down in Florida, and she's always complaining.
I'm not sure if I want to hear this.
Well, she complains that the librarians can't structure a sentence when they're passing notes to each other. And these are librarians. These are authorities in the library, and they can't structure a sentence. They don't know how to diagram a sentence. They don't know what a verb is, an adverb, an adjective. They don't understand how to use it.
Yeah,
punctuation.
But I don't think that's just, you know, Americans' fault. I think that's the government deliberately dumbing everybody down at the behest of the Federal Reserve bankers so that nobody would be able to structure a sentence, let alone realize that these banks have the ability to create $100 million in debt based on your signature and then own everything that you buy with that money and then never actually have to pay it back themselves or suffer any loss. It's called usury and fraud. If you can't structure a sentence or know what a noun or a verb or an adverb or an ad hominem attack is, how the frack are you going to figure that out? And that's exactly the agenda, in my opinion. I could be wrong.
No. I think you're onto something. But this crazy amendment, they're arguing whether or not they should ratify the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child or ratify this amendment, making it the 28th Amendment to the Constitution. That is a crazy argument that they would even debate that. Anyone who has read the UN Rights of the Child, it is a sick document. It is sick. And it should not be ratified in the United States.
Well, I think the UN itself should be abolished personally. You have a look at their development program. They got like a $9 billion budget, most of which goes to contaminated vaccines that they divvy out to Africa, forced sterilizing women. There's all bunch of like child kidnapping rings and stuff like that that are allegedly run with the UN say so and approval. And it's just a horrific organization. Who just basically sit there and say, hey, everybody's going to say it's the World Council and everything like that. And by the way, we have a Security Council with the whole powerful globalist scumbaggery, most dominated countries, who will basically veto anything that's good for everybody and make sure that everything that's bad for everybody goes right on through.
Absolutely. Because we're not trying to take care of problems. We're trying to get rid of more people so that we don't have any problems.
Yeah, because the problem is people, isn't it? And there'd actually be a lot of people who would actually agree with that statement. Isn't that sick? You know, you've got a whole bunch of brainwashed people out there who think that, oh, there's overpopulation. Then you have massive popularity of films like World War Z, for example, where you see people as ants or rushing violently and, you know, that kind of thing. And it just seems like a whole bunch of brainwashing propaganda to me. humans are not the problem. Scumbaggery is the problem. If you didn't have scumbaggery, you wouldn't really have many difficulties dealing with the other people around you, because if there were any actual problems, like if you couldn't feed people or if you couldn't house or clothe people or something, look, the US government spends enough on just drones alone that you could abolish poverty tomorrow if you just cut all that budget, all right? People ain't the problem. It's scumbaggery. Always has been. Always will be.
Absolutely it is. That is the problem. The problem is the way we treat each other, the way we're taught to treat each other. And the people who are behind all of that, sitting there laughing, while you and I are fighting over whether or not Trayvon Martin deserves civil rights and he should have died or not, and they're doing this.
Yeah. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you get infected by the Wetiko virus. Back in a minute.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all, well, just a little bit about history repeating. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can check out the archives at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And my very special guest is the lovely, the fabulous, the indictable... Suzanne Bozell. I don't know why I put an indictable there. I think it was funny anyway. And what were we talking about over the break? Oh, yeah. Look, if people are dissing us on their radio shows or anything like that, and you want to tell us about it, don't tell us about it, okay? Trust me. If people are dissing us on their radio shows, it's because they're a scumbag. It's just that freaking simple. And you know what happens when you think that a scumbag is out of your life and then people come at you and say, hey, the scumbags are committing some form of scumbaggery against you on their radio show or whatever. That disrupts the calm and chi and awesomeness that is ourselves. And it is not good. Stop telling us about it, please. I don't care. If somebody wants to like criticize me or criticize Suzanne, you know, they can go for their life. You know, they can just sit back and have no freaking originality, no existence that's worth living or anything like that. Fine. You know, don't tell us about it. We don't care. Well, actually we do care. Hugely, and that's why it upsets us so much and disrupts that frickin' chi. Anyway. Yes.
Well, speaking of history repeating, North Carolina has finally decided to compensate the more than 7,000 victims that were sterilized during the eugenics courts in the 1970s. Isn't that lovely? They have finally decided to pay them back for making sure that they'll never procreate again.
You know, I think that's interesting because the eugenics courts were still around even when the American Eugenics Society wasn't.
Wait a second.
Well, let's get the chronology right here. When did Planned Parenthood change their name from the American Eugenics Society?
'60s?
I thought it was like right after World War II kind of thing, because eugenics kind of had a bad name after it exterminated a whole bunch of people and caused a world war.
Yes. Well, the court system in North Carolina was alive and well up until 1974, and it started in 1929.
That was at least in just North Carolina. A whole bunch of other states, I'm sure, didn't keep it around for quite as long, right?
No, just recently in California, they were sterilizing female inmates who had one or more children because they might have more.
Yeah.
For any offense. It didn't even have to be something that would like murder or pedophilia or anything. The one woman was arrested for carjacking, and she was in jail for 2 years, and she was sterilized because she had a daughter.
Okay. Well, I presume they're probably doing this to as many as they possibly can. Oh, this woman got caught with a joint. Sterilized!
Yes. And then it'll take you, you know, several decades for, like, in the state of North Carolina to set aside $10 million. And they're only going to pay people a portion of that money if they go ahead and contact the state board and let them know that they were victimized by eugenic sterilization. They're okay. Not going to go seek anybody out.
Well, I think that's called state-sponsored terrorism, isn't it? It's even in Brave New World, isn't it, that they want to put sterilants in the water or something like that. Hey, have a look at the sperm count. Have a look at human fertility, okay? There's statistics somewhere, and it's obscenely low. Like I think it's like 1 or 2 or 3% of what it should be. Right? People
in the
were
United
fertile
States,
as frack back in the day, but now.
Yes, in the United States, it's 1.2 children born to each couple, statistically. That means that birth rates are declining because you would have to replace each person, the male and the female, in order to have at least the same population that you have now, let alone for growth, you'd have to have a third person involved. So, or a third person born, not involved.
Hey. Hey, can I get in here?
Well, actually, they did in the UK. They took a test tube and they put an egg and they put in 3 different strands of DNA from 3 different people, 2 women and a male, and fertilized the egg, and this baby was just born.
Did it have, like, 2 heads or something wrong with it?
No, nope, there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's a perfect child because it has no propensity to any diseases. It's a designer baby.
No propensity to any diseases. What about psychopathy?
It's probably filled with that.
Yeah. See, I was just wondering because the Illuminati or whatever you want to call them I've been trying to get in touch with Alan Watt. For a long time. Like, I think this is my 2nd year emailing. I'm trying to get him on the show for an interview. Hopefully I'll eventually get him because he's so freaking brilliant. And what I want to discuss with him most of all is the breeding programs that they've got. You know, they're obsessed with it. Absolutely, utterly obsessed. They control the marriages like it's a Middle Ages India. It's beyond a joke. And what occurs to me now is that they don't just want to have all these breeding programs for themselves. They, in fact, want it for all of us as well. So that we turn out more like them, I think. You know, cold, dark, scumbaggery, you know, that kind of thing. As soon as the goodness, light, and love is squeezed out of the human race like toothpaste out of a tube, they'll be happy. Well, and then they'll get really angry and probably kill everybody and lock themselves in deep underground military bases in the dark with the worst killers, psychopaths, and rapists and Satan and satanic scum that the world has ever seen. And that's their backup plan.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time to me.
Now that's plan B, bro. That's what it
is. Well, neuroscientists at MIT just implanted fake memories into the brains of rats. This is real. They were able to use optical fiber light. They were able to find in the frontal lobe where memories are stored and made. And they were able to implant an actual fake memory. It did not exist, but the rat reacted to the memory as if it had actually happened.
Well, what memory were they trying to implant? Like an extra nice tasting cheese or an extra scary cat?
I don't know. But they were using this as a maybe to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, get rid of unwanted memories. Sunshine, what was that? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind kind of thing. But it made me think about what you were just saying, where if they want to make an entire group controllable, they could just implant memories that never happened, and we would no longer have maybe the urge to be independent or the urge to be sovereign or ever having remembered when we were free.
Hey, they could imagine what they could do to somebody like you or I, you know, make us forget that we got families. Make us forget the scary knocks on the door by the police. Make us forget the entire careers that we've established out of exposing scumbaggery.
Absolutely. Imagine you come home to your wife or your husband and you don't recognize them, or they don't recognize you. The detachment, you know, that we would, you know, if we think that we're detached to each other now because of all the social engineering, this takes it a whole step farther.
Yeah. I mean, this is actual engineering, you know. Social engineering kind of happens like sort of passively, you know, like people can escape from it, people can wake up to it, that kind of thing. But this kind of engineering is actually literally physically in there, in your freaking brain, implanting actual memories or removing them.
And they used light. Remember in Men in Black when they did the little thing and they shine the light and everybody forgets?
The neuralizer.
That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, like people like just ambush John Key or something like that, sort of shapeshift into a reptilian or something, and then they just like neuralize and say, see, what you saw was actually a light reflected from Venus off of swamp gas.
Yes, and you'd be like, yep, exactly.
Yep, I mean, clearly.
And people, the part that really bothered me was the idea that if they wanted to control us and get rid of the human spirit, they would be able to just implant these memories away, that we were never free, that the revolution never happened here in the United States, that there was never any sovereignty, that we were always the way that we are now, which would be in the future for the future generations, that there was never a time that humanity was never not enslaved. You know what I mean?
Have you ever
Nobody
seen
would
the
fight
film?
Back.
Have you ever seen the film Oblivion with Tom Cruise?
That is one. Yes, that is one of the freakiest films. To me, these are horror films, by the way.
Well, see what you're describing here, the ability to implant memories and detach some of them and that kind of thing is almost exactly the plot line of Oblivion.
Yes, and the whole time he thought he was working for the good guys and he found out he wasn't.
Yeah. And this could now physically happen to us. Now, isn't it interesting that films come out and then not too long afterwards, real research comes out that proves what the film is telling people was possible in the future is actually now possible today. Like the film Surrogates, for example, came out and then not long after it, I think the military comes out with these biomechanical sort of androids that can come out that you can use as a surrogate. And I'm just wondering, I just read an article this morning out of the BBC about how many disaster movies there are. And what the critics are saying is that people are now obsessed with disaster movies because they've got this post-traumatic thing from September 11th. And they also have this this delusion that they want to fulfill, whereby they can experience disaster death on a mass scale and come out of the movie theater unscathed. And I was just thinking about this. What were all the youth and people obsessed with towards the fall of Rome? They were obsessed with death. There was this whole culture of it. The games in the Colosseum. Somebody actually really dies, you know, their throat cut out and stuff like that. This isn't just movie fiction or something, and they're all sitting around cheering, yay! This is what's happening now. And it's the sign of a declining culture, and apparently it's happened in many, many cultures before ours, whereby the people become obsessed with the process obsessed with the results of murder, death, killing, and eventually their society dies with it.
Well, this would mean that the entire globe, because we're a global society now, would crash. And that would just mean that the controllers would be able to wait until the dust settles and start back up again, because it seems to be that's what they do. You know, whenever a society or a civilization crashes, because they cause the crash, they love the destruction. They just wait until the dust settles, and then they start up again with their religion and their hierarchy and their monarchies, and then just start controlling everything over again. That's sick that we're on this roller coaster and we can't get off.
Yeah, well, I think we can get off, but the problem is it means we have to make the roller coaster crash when it's inconvenient for the ones in charge of the roller coaster. They're planning to have it crash in the first place. We need to crash it beforehand, or at least this is theoretically speaking. Honestly, I don't want to see no crash. I don't want to see no blood in the streets. I don't want to see no civil war. What I want to see, ultimately, at the end of the day, is all these elite criminal bankster scum to be put in an arena, and they have to kill each other, and only one will survive, and they'll have to live in a mansion by themselves under armed guard for the rest of their life. We'll call it the Banker Games. And it'll be great, you know. And I just did my Facebook status this morning. It doesn't take long to make $100 million if you can just make it up on a computer the second someone gives you their signature. And then charge them interest. Then own everything they buy with that money if they can't pay it back. No wonder the banks have the largest buildings in every major city.
Absolutely. You can see it a mile away as you're driving into the city. You see in downtown Seattle, you see the Washington Mutual building before anything else, before you even see the Space Needle. It's the biggest building in there.
You've got to be freaking kidding me. How can people even waltz by and not notice this absolute disparity between the ability to make money, like through creativity, entrepreneurship, and the ability to make money up through fraud and scumbaggery? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe what you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the breed of uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter?
Welcome back. What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to my affiliates around in New Zealand, Rush FM in Hamilton, Tauranga, and soon to be Raglan, I think. Dagsy FM up in Whangarei. Dagsy, you're my man, you're my homeboy. And Ifinity FM in the south. The deep south, as I'd say in Little Nicky. And I really hate the cold. Does anybody else out there really like not just feel uncomfortable with the cold, but actually have a kind of a pathological rage bile duct kind of sensation when there's just too much cold? You just get really, really angry with it. It's like, fuck you! I hate you! I hate you! I hate the cold. I really don't like it. Which is why I will never, ever go and live in a very, very, very cold place. Okay? Unless I'm not planning to leave the place and it happens to have full-on central heating, which doesn't freaking happen because I always want to go out and do things. Right. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest. And what were we talking about over the break? You were talking about something like, oh, yeah, the pacemakers. This is a great story. Okay, let me sum up for people. It combines two of the favorite things that people like to talk about and do, whether you're a good person or a psychopath, saving people's lives and killing people. They've now got pacemakers, right, that can either shock you when your heart stops working and bring you back to life, or shock you when your heart's already working and bring you to the other side. meaning dead.
Yes, Barnaby Jack has passed away. He was the director of embedded device security at IO Active, and his death is mysterious. It was ruled as a natural causes. I'm sorry. Not natural causes, but the coroner is determining that. The police said there was no foul play involved. But it's interesting. See, this gentleman was going to bring forth research that he's been doing for several years on these type of defibrillators that are put implanted into the and pacemakers. And so if you are prone to heart attacks, the defibrillator would shock you back to life until the EMTs got there. But he was going to show how hackers could hack into it and kill someone remotely from about 30 feet away. And they didn't want anybody to know about that. So he's dead. He's dead, and he's not going to be presenting this at the Black Hat Conference in San Francisco that's going on right now. In fact, his slot might have already been filled. But here's the interesting part about that, if that's not the only interesting part. The Food and Drug Administration has been warring with the manufacturers of these devices because they say that it could be hacked into. They're breach of security. It's electronic, and it could be somebody with a laptop could be sitting there controlling the equipment. And the manufacturers keep saying, no, it's safe, and the FDA asks for documentation, schematics of the device so that they can look for any security breaches. This is going back and forth. Meanwhile, Barnaby Jack discovers that, yes, it is remotely controlled, or it could be remotely controlled. It could be used for nefarious purposes. It could be used to kill people. And the manufacturers probably don't want that out right now since they're trying to get it approved and there's billions of dollars involved. So
did Barnaby Jack have one of these devices in him while he was exposing that it could kill him and then he gets killed by it?
No, I don't know if he was actually his own guinea pig. I don't know. He was 36 years old. He was my age, and he's not that old. So I would assume that maybe like Breitbart, he was probably in relatively good health, and he just mysteriously died.
Yeah. Now, this is another thing that really does concern me as well, because I know a lot of whistleblowers and people like that. And when they die, almost all of the work that they can do throughout their entire life to expose scumbaggery dies with them. Always. At every point throughout history that I've seen where things can go really awry, if somebody doesn't do something, there's usually only one person that does something. And if they kill that person, surprise, surprise, nothing gets done about it. You know, like Bradley Manning, for example. Oh, he's been acquitted on this charge of aiding the enemy. And yet, he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life. Explain that one to me. You know? How can you jail somebody for doing the right thing, for acting in their conscience? And they interview this general, retired U.S. Army, and he says, us soldiers are supposed to obey orders and show loyalty. Obviously, he's never heard of the freaking Nuremberg trials. Never heard of them. No, they didn't happen. They didn't happen. Following orders, if they're unlawful, if you kill innocent people as a result of following those orders, means that you're guilty. And you have to suffer consequences. Not just follow orders blindly. Are you listening, military, police, anybody? Can you get it through your heads? You're actually supposed to follow your conscience, follow the law, not orders. Orders are sure, fine. You just do a quick scan. Is that order legal? Yep. Follow it. Is that order, in fact, completely the opposite of what's right, of what's moral, of what's ethical, of what's lawful? Yep, then shoot your officer. Okay? That's how it's supposed to work, because otherwise that officer, being a psychopath most likely, otherwise he wouldn't have given those orders, will probably have you court-martialed or killed, executed for insubordination. All right? I don't even want to talk about this. You know why? Because it'll tick off a lot of people, the wrong kind of people. Isn't that interesting? That if you tell people to follow their hearts and follow their conscience and do the right thing, people think that you're an agitator, that you're dangerous, that you're a terrorist. What does that say about what terrorism really is? It's actually a system of government. Now look it up in the frickin' dictionary if you don't believe me. It's a system of government whereby the government uses terrifying techniques to get everybody to do exactly what it wants. That's what terrorism actually is. You live in a terrorist state. If they tell you there's a war on terrorism, hey, you're fighting on the wrong side. Wake up. Stop taking those orders. I haven't taken orders in a long, long time. I ain't going to start anytime soon. It's because I know that anybody who really wants power, who wants to boss me around, ain't worth following.
Well, along these lines, you know, Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, who shot and killed 16 civilian Afghanis last year, has been sent to jail because of that. Now, here's the interesting part. He was given a dose of mefloquine, which is a drug to treat malaria. Now, this drug is known to cause psychiatric symptoms in a number of patients ranging from anxiety, paranoia, depression, hallucinations, and psychotic behavior. If symptoms occur, they may, in rare cases, commit suicide or homicide. And if any of these symptoms are shown in the patient immediately must be taken off the drug so that an alternate can be substituted. And so he was on this drug when he had his psychotic or homicidal episode and killed 16 Afghani civilians, including women and children. Now, he's going to jail. He did kill them. But where's the guy who gave him the pill? And why isn't he sitting in jail? And where is the administrator in the Department of Defense that said it's okay to give people drugs that cause psychotic behavior and homicidal behavior in their own civilians? I mean, in their own soldiers. Where's that guy? And why isn't he sitting in a jail cell?
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about the war on terrorism the other day. In fact, we were just talking about it with an ex-member of Anonymous. And I think the video is on my YouTube channel. They say that there's a war on terrorism, right? And they say that there's terrorists in Afghanistan. So what they do is they go over to Afghanistan, where there are no terrorists, and blow up a whole bunch of innocent people. And the families of those innocent people become insurgents because they want revenge. They want justice for a whole bunch of people who invaded their country for no frickin' reason and just started killing their family. And then the US government goes, "See? See? We told you there were terrorists there." You made them up. You freaking made them up.
Like, yes, honestly. Anytime you hear about the rebels or, like you said, the insurgents, these are people who've had their lands taken from them, their families murdered and butchered, their homes burned down, and they are considered rebels when they all get together, all the men who are left get together and say, you know what, guys, our families are dead, our homes are burned down, what do we have left? Let's just go and grab whatever we can find and fight these guys.
Yeah. What would you do? If the United States was invaded by a foreign nation, in fact, it already is. It's called the New World Order, and they've invaded you economically. It's far easier to take over a country economically because people don't see that there's a real enemy invading. People don't see how all of their military apparatus and how all their bulwarks are stationed and all of their fortresses and so on and so forth. They don't see them. They think they just look like normal office buildings. They're actually outposts watching over you so that they can see any perceivable threat that you might pose to their will and dominance over your country. What would you do if somebody was actually physically, militarily invading you? What would you do if you saw your mother executed on her knees in the street in front of you and you had nothing that you could do but watch from afar? You're trying to avenge her, wouldn't you? by any means necessary, bring it on. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeselshow.com.